The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer and the home of the one-hour express service.
Triple M.
First preliminary final in 16 long years, and they have done it. They've won. The Tigers are into the prelim.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Dead Set Legends on this magnificent Saturday morning. Great to be alive. What about the footy? 95,000 screaming fans at the MCG last night saw the Tigers in a scintillating last quarter getting up over Geelong. Geelong now, gee whiz, they've got to go back and do some real hard thinking as to where they're going. And what about Thursday night? Fair dinkum. Unbelievable. Two wonderful nights of footy. The Crows and, of course, Richmond both into the prelim finals as I welcome my sparring partner this morning, a man who's been there, done it all for Westies and, of course, for the Crows. Crows champion Tyson Edwards. Morning, Tyson.
Isn't it good to have some finals footy,
mate, where do you start, Tyson?
Unbelievable. It's interesting. We've had two sort of blowouts, I guess, as far as games go. But for the last night, as you said, 95,000 at the G.
That's, and the noise they made.
Yeah, they've always been really good Richmond fans. They haven't had a lot of success, obviously.
No.
And I still remember when I was playing, and they were one of the teams when you play against them over there. Their supporters really, when they get going, it's a bit like Port. Port's fans are probably don't get quite as many people as the Crows to their games, but they make themselves heard. So, no, well done to the Tigers. Good to see another team in the mix there. Someone a little bit different. And the Crows were just clinical, Cage. They were boring.
What?
Boring.
Tyson, wash your mouth out.
Leave it three-quarter time. I was yawning. No, they were very, very good.
It was a fantastic night Thursday. No, honestly, I was so proud to be a South Australian. The way they reacted when Source came off toward the end of the game, the reaction from the South Australian public was unbelievable and deservedly so.
Oh, he's been
what a wonderful night that
been
was.
Through a fair bit, the big fella, and he did really well to get up and play after everything he's been through. It puts things into perspective a little bit. It's in some ways probably helps Brody Smith with his disastrous knee injury. You know, he can look at Source and go, well, life's not that bad.
And what about when they embraced each other?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness,
no, it's emotional stuff
me.
There. So obviously our heart goes out to both those guys. Brody Smith has had a fantastic year and was playing well early in the game.
Fantastic. Goal in the first quarter.
Yeah,
that was
it was an important goal too, because GWS were actually quite good in the first half of that quarter.
Yeah.
And then it was game over.
It was good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick. All right, it was pretty boring, Cage. You would have watched most of that, actually.
Well, I did. Yeah. In fact, the first 10, 15 minutes, I was a bit edgy, but when Brody Smith went that big long bomb, I said, "Hey, tonight is the night."
What about the national anthem? What did you make of that with the Crows?
Well, I couldn't believe that's interesting. I said to my daughter Sally, I said, "Have a look at the respective sides. There's GWS arm in arm, and there was the Crows." Standing well away from each other.
Mm.
And I thought, why?
Yeah.
And was it planned, do you think?
I definitely think it was planned, because normally teams either go
why would you plan that, though?
I'm not sure. I think it was just something a bit different. And obviously, the way they were standing, Dermy talked about it a fair bit, I think, in the Fox coverage, saying that they looked bigger. They looked like there was more of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was that, but it was a different stance. So it was definitely planned.
I was critical of them. I said to Sally, Sal, come on, Crows, arm in arm, bond each other.
I've got a scoop. I know who it is. I know who came up with the idea.
Sean, hit me with it, son. Come on.
Taylor Walker. It was Texas idea.
You're joking.
No, Texas idea.
Why? What was
even the stiff arm stance, everything about it. And you saw last night Geelong even try to copy it a little bit, but didn't quite pull it off. So, Taylor Walker's idea.
What was
intimidation, that's what.
Intimidation. It didn't intimidate me.
And they
don't think they were trying to intimidate you.
Thank you, Sean.
And they stood there and didn't move.
Didn't blink an eyelid.
Luke, who's here this morning, who doesn't really give us much in the mornings, does he, Cage?
He gives us nothing.
He picked it up. He said, did you notice they didn't move until GWS moved away from the national anthem? They stood there in his little stare off for a little while. So
really?
Yeah, there was a bit. There was. I didn't mind it. Something a little bit. It was nearly
no,
like.
No, I didn't like it.
Didn't like. I don't like. For some reason, I don't know why it is. I don't like it when the national anthem's on and
teams put
their arms around each other.
Tyson, I love it.
I almost find that in some ways disrespectful.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just when teams started doing it.
That's bonding, though, guys. Yeah.
No, it makes sense.
That's united.
I can't disagree with that, but for some reason I just think it's disrespectful.
I think that was the only thing I didn't like about the game on Thursday night was the fact that they didn't be arm in arm. Other than that, J-Pod, when I saw him in the dugout with sitting alongside Brody Smith, who had done his knee, not just sitting there, but when he had his arm around the young man, I thought, how bloody good is that?
And then at the end of the game, a lot of the GWS players.
Phil Davis.
You know, it was more than just a pat on the back. It was Phil Davis was a genuine hug and some real love there for him.
But isn't it amazing? You go bang, bang, crash for 2 hours trying to knock each other out, and then there comes this moment of compassion. That's what makes sport so wonderful.
Yeah.
I loved every minute of it.
That's where our game's at the moment. There's a healthy respect for each other out there. Yeah. Players, as you said, go toe-to-toe for a couple of hours and then...
Bing, bing, bing.
Good luck to you. Well done. Exactly. Well played and move on.
Okay, coming up, what floats your boat? What gets you goat, Tyson? So I want you to be fired up today, son. All right.
Okay.
So we're coming back with that. Tyson, in fact, he is fired up. He walked in breathing fire this morning. Stay with us, folks. Big program. Maddie Martiner, Paul Roos, Brendan Lay. Huge show.
Dead Set Legends. KG, Ken Cunningham, Tyson Edwards this morning on 104.7 Triple M. Tyson Edwards and KG, your Dead Set Legends at Triple M.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends, it's what floats your boat and what gets your goat.
What floats your boat? What gets your goat, old son?
Where do you want me to start, Cage?
Wherever you want to start. The ball's in your court, Tyson. Right, fire up.
We'll start with what floats my boat.
Today. Okay, what floats your boat?
All right. We've already spoken about it, really. The Crows team on Thursday night.
Yep.
Very clinical. And what I loved about it, Cage, was to win finals footing, to be successful, you have to have a team that plays well together. And
correct.
Not reliant on individuals. And I'm loving the way they're going at the moment. They dispelled the no crows, no Sloan, no crows myth.
Yeah, the culture, fantastic.
Culture, you love the culture. So,
loved it.
They're my first float in my boat this morning. I think they're in a really good place.
Beautiful, and, beautiful. I love
getting
it.
A job
I'm with
done.
You. I'm on the same page, guys.
I thought you might be with that one. Essendon and John Worsfold. For Essendon to make the finals this year after everything they've been through and players, half of their squad or more than half their squad, not playing the game at all last year.
Yep.
No one knew where they were going to go and what.
Correct.
They've got a pretty talented group, and to be able to do what they've done and make the finals, they've got a really tough gig.
Sydney.
But I thought that was just brilliant for them to be able to.
I'm with you again.
It's a really good story, and hopefully they can continue playing good footy, and we stop talking about the other issue that they've had. So we need to move on from that. But
exactly, good
fantastic
stuff.
Fantastic for Essendon and John Worsfold to be back in the finals.
I'd love to see him win tonight. It'd be lovely.
Yeah, that would put a little smoky amongst the... I can't see it happening. But anyway, well done to them. The Richmond members, Cage.
How good
are they?
Well, that was unbelievable last night. 95,000 screaming fans.
70,000 of them were Richmond. Have we got some audio there of that, Sean, or not?
Audio Richmond booing.
Booing?
Yeah.
Gee.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's... let's leave that. Leave that bit of audio then. But they were super to...
They were.
..to turn up like they have. They always do. They've been fantastic. Dying for some finals action and some... fun in September, and they certainly got it
into a prelim
and
final.
Turned out.
Gee, it was unbelievable thinking. Yeah, good luck.
And my last one, I've got a few.
Good.
It's been a good, positive week. Nathan Lyon, bit of cricket.
Wow, I like this.
Yeah. Obviously, he got 13 wickets in his last test. I think about
22 tests,
which is a fantastic effort.
Yep, he's up there.
And he's probably our best off spinner now, is he, or not?
He'd be up there, right up there with Ashley Mallard, Tim May, and all those. Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, no doubt.
Obviously, a deck that helped him over there, but you've still got to go and get the
job
done.
Still got to get the wickets.
So
yeah, no, well
good
done.
To see a little bit of positivity coming out, which cricket's needed. So good to see cricket back. So they're my boats, Cage.
Right on. Now, what gets your goat?
All right. Now, I know this has probably been whacked a fair bit, but this really bothers me, is the bye.
Well, it's a joke.
It's
an absolute joke.
Apart from nothing happening last weekend, apart from a couple of fun games, the Crows will now play after their win on Thursday night. One game in just about 4 weeks.
Exactly. They don't play next week. Another bloody week with no Crows.
And plus, they've played on a Thursday, so and they won't play again until, well, it's probably a Friday night game they'll get, I think it is. Yeah, but for the bye, for me, just doesn't work. It's a disadvantage now for the Crow, I think.
Got momentum and stopped.
Yep. And for Richmond as well. They're flying at the moment. Now they've got another week off. So I don't like it at all. And it takes away a big advantage from finishing the top four.
In fact, that's in my wheel of wine.
Yeah, well, beautiful. That's good. Give it another whack because we need to get rid of it. And that flows into my other one, the AFL, here with the – this is the one for Geelong, scheduling the Geelong game at the MCG.
Oh, Seven Stadium, do you think?
Well, let's have a listen. This is where the audio comes in for – this is not Richmond's home game, but let's have a listen to them at Geelong's home game.
The Cats being booed.
Listen to that.
Extraordinary scenes at the MCG, Nate. You said you reckon it was 75% Tigers. The Cats booed as they run onto the MCG. Ridiculous. You mentioned Joel Selwood.
That's ridiculous.
Now, yes, it was a great atmosphere. Yes, there's 95,000 people there. And yes, it was great for us to watch. But for a team to finish where they did in Geelong and they deserve to get there. The only advantage they get now is a home final.
But they would have only got 30,000.
35,000. Yeah, I get that. But to be booed on your home ground, so to speak, where Richmond haven't lost there basically this year. They've had a fantastic result at the G play every of their home games there. I'm not sure about it. It's like where we've got GWS now get a home final.
Yep.
Do we change that because there's only going to be 15,000 people there?
Good point. Good
because
point.
Because the, there's not going to be the same atmosphere. So the AFL get a slight little whack there for
beautiful.
Me. And I just want to give my old mates Kyrgios and Tomic a little bit of a whack as well.
Do you really? Not happy?
I can't. It's a bit like the bye. I just can't help but not. Until they pull their heads in and start winning some tennis. So I know I've probably given them a couple of whacks over the journey, but got to get off my chest so we can move on, Cage.
Too right. Okay, if you want to have your thoughts on anything that Tyson's had a crack at or praising, give us a call. 133-533 is our number. Coming up, the overnight scoreboard. Then we'll talk to Marty Matner. How about that? Marty Matner. I'm going to rehearse that.
Dead Set Legends.
Okay, Tyson.
Very lucky to have an SNFL flavour this morning. And we've got someone who's up nice and bright and early for us, KG.
Two big games tomorrow. Two huge games.
Yep, the big final series for SNFL, obviously, as well. We've got Marty Matner joining us, the coach of the Sturt Footy Club. Marty, thanks for your time. Hey, but that's before we get going. I don't know whether you heard the intro earlier. Have you been called Matty Martner before?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah, okay,
It always happens every now and then, yeah.
Good old Matty Martner. Call him Moose, KG.
Moose.
Yeah, call him Moose.
Okay, no worries.
Moose, thanks very much for your time. Congrats on what you've been able to achieve so far. Obviously coming up against the Doggies on Sunday. Tomorrow. What am I thinking? What day is it, Cage? The Doggies are in very good form. I think you were the last team to be able to beat them. It was about 5 or 6 weeks ago. So they're coming with some nice form under them.
Yeah, definitely. They're probably one of the form teams of the comp and been playing really good footy. And we were lucky enough to watch a little bit last week when they played Norwood. They were pretty impressive for probably, their first and last quarter was very impressive. I think kicked 13 goals or something. So, yeah, they're going really well at the moment.
What's some of the areas as far as their team that you think you really need to get a hold of or keep them under control in?
Oh, I think it's their midfield. They're pretty, they've got an even spread through their midfield. Holman, Jansen, Hoskin, the Schiller boys, they go pretty deep. They have five or six guys who can go through the midfield as well. But Aiden Riley back this week for us will be a big plus.
Yeah, he's tough.
That's a big in.
Yeah, so he's really impressive with his stoppage work and probably does, mean that, batters be Kirkwood and Pat Wilson, probably, one of them. We do have some depth come through there as well. So we should be able to match them in that area. And I think that's probably where the game's going to be won. Whoever can sort of get into their forwards a bit cleaner and a bit easier will probably win the game.
Gee, Battersby's been in fantastic form and Kirkwood is so, so consistent. Marty, that duel is going to be an absolute cracker. And I thought your second, even though you were beaten by Port last week, I thought your second half was quite impressive.
Yeah, the midfield probably last week, that was probably the reason why we lost in the second quarter. I think we were being convincingly through the midfield and that probably didn't help our cause of getting hold of the footy and that's probably how the Maggie's got us in the end was just that ability in the second quarter to maintain possession and they kick five goals. But I thought the second half was pretty good. The midfield lifted and we were able to get hold of the footy again and get it into our forwards one-on-one, which helped. And yeah, I think this week again will be the same. You know, Battersby's probably, he missed the first half of the year with a finger injury, but his second half's been really impressive. And yeah, Kirkwood's always ever reliable. And I think Pat Wilson's ability to be able to go through there adds something different as well. So yeah, I think the midfield battle's the one on the week tomorrow.
How is the health of your squad at the moment, Marty? Obviously, injuries play a big part in finals. Are you looking pretty healthy?
Yeah, I think we're probably as healthy as we can be. It's hard this time of year. Guys have got, bits and pieces, little niggles, and everyone's carrying some sort of soreness or injury or something like that. But we're pretty lucky that we can have everyone playing at the moment. And I guess the bonus that we've got at the moment is our reserves are playing as well and our under-18s. So at the moment, we've got everyone training and playing on weekends. So if, there's some pressure coming from below, the reserves had a really good win last week.
Yep.
And they're playing the Maggies today in a final as well. So, it's good for the kids to be able to keep putting pressure on the senior and the league team.
Gee, Marty, you've done a fantastic job because it was somewhat of a slow start, mainly through injuries to key players at the start of the year. So to get yourself where you are now, the boys and yourself have done a fantastic job, really.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it was injuries at the start of the year and probably a slow start of the year as well. We had a couple of guys who had surgery and had interrupted pre-seasons and just a slow start. I think we started a bit later and all those sorts of things. So there's a combination of everything. But, it's been pretty impressive. I think, our last, second half of the year was really good. And I think the reserves even is pretty impressive. Well, they were bottom after round 10 with two wins and end up finishing third and playing in finals, which is pretty impressive.
Great for the club.
Go. One more for me. This is maybe getting a little bit ahead of where we're at the moment. Obviously, finals is very important. You've been an assistant, obviously, at Sydney in a really successful environment. You've done, as KG said, a super job at Sturt with all grades, obviously, this year doing really well. Going forward, is AFL coaching on your radar, or you're happy doing what you're doing at the moment? What's the plans for for the Marnie Moose?
Probably both. Yeah, I'm happy what I'm doing at the moment at Sturt, and I had a chat to the board and that mid-year about signing on for next year. So I've signed on for next year, but I've said to the club that if something does come up in the AFL, I'd like to look into it and look into it and pursue it if that's what I really wanted to do. So. And Sturt were really, they were really, open to that and really happy about me trying to pursue that as well because they knew that when I took the job, that was what I wanted to do. So, I'm just pretty lucky, that I'm able to still stay at Sturt. And if something did come up, I can look into it. And whether it is this year, next year, or in, however long, I'm a bit uncertain about that, but really happy what I'm doing at Sturt and would like to, get back into the AFL system at some stage.
Good on you, Marty. Marty, good luck tomorrow. I promise to be a couple of cracking games. Good luck tomorrow, and let's hope you can go further into the finals. Appreciate your time, Marty.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good on you, Marty.
Marty Matley's done a wonderful job.
He's doing a fantastic job, and it's great to see, AFL coaches, development coach, whatever they are, come back in this NFL and raise the standard of, Sturt. He's done a fantastic job there, and lucky to have him.
Super job. Okay, coming up very shortly, a very, very interesting question I'm going to ask the Triple M family. So, Stavers, get your phones out. Jump on the phone when we discuss the conversation and the issue. Look, I want to ask the Triple M family a question here. I was watching the TV on Thursday night, and I saw both sides line up, the Crows and GWS.
Yep.
And I looked at the Crows and said, what's going on here? And I said to my daughter, Sal, come in. Have a look at this. This is bull. This is bull so-and-so. The Crows not.
Bull shark.
There you saw the GWS arm-in-arm together and the Crows standing poles apart between each other.
Little stiff arms.
Stiff arms. Now, I didn't like it one little bit, Tyson. It was terrible.
As I said at the start of the show, I'm a little bit more against. I'm not sure what reason. I feel like it's a bit disrespectful with the arm and arm thing. I always stood with my hands behind my back because it's a national anthem.
No, you've got to bond with
you
each
other.
You
pay your respect. We should be more parochial about a national anthem. I think it's something to be proud of. But I'm not so. Obviously, they did a little bit of work behind the scenes to all get in sync.
You reckon it was orchestrated?
I definitely think so. You can't not just walk out and
well,
And
it didn't look good. It looked like when you see the Americans, they stand there,
hand on heart, side by side,
and their hand on their heart. Yeah. And we stood poles apart. I did not like it one little bit. I was so disappointed. That was the only part of the night that disappointed me. It was terrible.
Well,
I didn't like it.
Let's see what the family says. We'll open it up to them, KG. I'm sure there's a few differing opinions as well.
1-3-3-5-3 is the number to ring. But this is what Don Pike, the coach, had to say about it.
Don, just after the national anthem tonight, seeing that yourself and the entire playing group almost in a Power Rangers stance were looking at the Giants staring across, was there any reason behind that?
No, not particularly.
Oh, come on, Don.
Come on, mate.
Come on, Don. Well, on the rush hour, I was listening to it, the rush hour, this is what Daniel Talia had to say about the reason they did it. Here we go.
No, it wasn't, anything in particular. We just didn't want to stand with our arms around us. We thought, standing there in the same position, we weren't trying to intimidate or anything, but we just thought it looked a bit stronger. So, we went with that, and that was, all the boys' call, and that's how it panned out. So, yeah, it's funny everyone's, saying we're coming with this plan, but it's just the way we stood, to be honest.
It just stood out so blatant. There you saw GWS linking arms and the Crows standing a foot apart. It was horrible. I did not like it one little bit.
Daniel Talley saying they didn't organise it. How does everyone know how to stand? Like, you all sort of line up there and go, what are we doing? Okay, well, my hands behind the back, that's what we'll do. You don't all just stand like that. We haven't seen that before. So.
And what about Don Pike's reaction? Yeah,
he didn't help to squash it, did he? I think he's opened it up a little bit.
And this is Stick of the Fancies of the Triple M family. Let's go to Aaron of Parralawi. Good morning, Aaron.
Yeah, good morning, boys. How are we this morning?
Good. Did you like it or dislike it?
I loved it.
Oh,
I
how in the hell could you
loved
love it?
Because, KG, we've been known for our bad starts, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes. So I said to my partner, when they were lining up for the national anthem, I said, look at them. They're all switched on. They know what job that they have to do. Because every time we've got something to, to gain, like we were gaining a preliminary final. And, every other time we stuff it up. So this time, they're all standing there. They're all switched on. They know the job at hand. They weren't no disrespecting the national anthem. They were all standing there, switched on, looking at GWS, looking at what the job that they've got to do is a prelim final and get to the grand final. We've been the best team all year, and this is what we've got to do. There's no disrespect.
Well, no,
just because they didn't have their arms around each other. Like, they're switched on, they're going for it, and I loved it, and they should do it every single time from now on.
Good on you, Aaron. Yeah, thanks for your call. You can't do it again.
They will do it again, Cage. They have to.
No, it's ridiculous. George of Aldinga. Morning, George.
Cage. KG, sometimes I think you just stir the pot, mate, just to get people.
No, I'm not. To me, it was disrespectful.
I don't think you're going to get one person ringing up saying that was a bad thing. That wasn't disrespectful or unpatriotic. You talk about the Americans that hold their hand on their heart.
Yep.
Mate, they're crazy patriotic, mate. That's a bit over the top.
No, it's not. I love that sort of stuff. That's what you do.
That was the most intimidating thing I've ever seen in football. Those GWS guys would have been standing there and their legs would have been shaking. Look at those Crows.
I don't think he used the national anthem to intimidate the opposition.
Oh, absolutely, mate. You use anything you can to intimidate the opposition.
Well,
I tell you what, the best thing would be for them to break out into some sort of war dance.
Give me a break. Yeah. All right, George. Okay, you love that. Fair enough. I'm on the minority again. I'm getting smashed. Morning, Josh of Mount Barker. Morning, Josh.
G'day, boys. How we doing?
Yeah, good, thank you.
What's your thoughts, Josh?
You're always bloody thinking that needs more passion in the game, KG.
Yeah,
but
good
I think
point.
That's exactly what they showed.
No, that was the lack of passion. Passion is when you stand there like the Americans with hand over your heart. That's showing passion for your national anthem, for your country.
They showed passion for their team, KG. They went out there and said, right, we are going to stare right into the soul of GWS. And look what they did. They tore them apart in that first quarter.
I don't think he used the national anthem to intimidate the opposition.
I was sitting there at home and I was scared, KG.
Fair enough. Okay, Josh, fair enough. It's worked with you. Thanks for your call. We've got Paul of Broken Hill. Paul.
How are we? How's things, KG?
Good, mate. You're ringing from Broken Hill.
Yeah. I think you're a bit disrespectful.
Why?
Ooh.
Right. I think the opportunity to turn around and make a stance with what these guys have been through in the last 4 years.
Yep.
I think they stood there united, prepared to take anything on.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, if you have a look at the reaction of GWS,
yep,
they didn't have the, I would say, balls to look eye to eye and face it. They were looking absolutely everywhere. I think it was intimidating, and I think it was making a statement that these guys stand side by side. And the other part about America, we ain't America. We're not selling a soapbox derby. We're there to win the football.
Well, of course you are, but I don't, and I'm repeating myself here, I don't think you use our national anthem to intimidate the opposition. There are other ways of doing it.
I don't think it's a national anthem. They didn't disrespect it.
Well, listen, we're standing.
They made a stand.
Yeah, okay, but they were standing there and while the national anthem was being played. And
well, what would you say if you had the Aboriginals that wanted to sit down?
Sorry?
I mean, what would happen if you're in another situation where, you know, we're going to have, obviously, Aboriginal guys that weren't going to sit down. We're going to sit down and not stand. I think it's an overreaction.
It may well be, but I'm all for when the national anthem's being played, you sing. You sing your national anthem.
Yep.
We never do that. Thank you, Paul.
So standing there like they were, so you see that as disrespectful?
I do.
Just standing there. So
when I saw, and look, there are other parts of the night were magnificent,
yep,
but that when I saw GWS arm in arm, us standing as we stood, and an anthem being played, it looked ordinary from my point of view. Mm. Now, and I don't think you used the national anthem to intimidate the opposition. I love what the anthem's being played to see the players,
yep,
who are standing there, sing the song.
Yep.
It's our song.
Yeah.
It's our country.
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously the callers were all pretty positive for it.
I mean, I got killed again.
What about the stare down at the end of the national anthem? Did you like that, Cage? Because what the Crows did was stand there dead still after the national anthem was played, and GWS waited for GWS to make the first move.
So
what did you think about that?
So we used in effect, we used the national anthem to intimidate GWS.
I didn't mind the subtle message, to be perfectly honest.
No, I thought it was, I
can hear what you're saying.
I'm probably old fashioned, but I put up my hand.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I didn't like it.
Got a Twitter poll happening with that at the moment, and not good news for you, Cage.
No, you're going down there too.
80% said yes, they loved it. And 20% no, preferred arm in arm.
Well, I apologise. I'm in the minority.
You don't need to apologise. It's your opinion, mate. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that.
It didn't look good to me. But the other parts of the night.
Yeah, very good.
Were magnificent. We'll talk about it a little later.
Hey, we've got Paul Roots coming up soon too.
Yeah. You know, Tyson, there's one thing in sport that for so many years has got up my nose. The bloody Victorians.
Yeah.
They just continue to knock us. I was listening to the huddle last night. Howie, a good bloke.
Yeah. Yep.
Juddy, a good bloke.
Yeah.
But they were talking about whether the Crows can win the premiership. And this is what they had to say on the huddle last night. Listen to this.
How do you feel about them on grand final day at the MCG rather than playing at the Adelaide Oval?
Well, it's a totally different kettle of fish, and it's dependent on who they play. I think if they played Richmond here at the MCG on grand final day, I'd probably be backing Richmond the way they play.
I worry about their leg speed through the middle a little bit. Crouch brothers, really good players, but not quick. Neither Rory Sloane. He's a long runner, but he's not quick. And I've been in a bit of that camp. Sometimes I don't think their elite players stand up as well as the other top four teams' players like Taylor Walker, and they're very... You know, Rory Sloane when he gets tagged. So that's been the question mark for mine.
See, there's an example of how they continue to knock us. If that wasn't enough, last week on the Rush Hour, this is what Brendan Favola had to say.
How do you feel about them on grand final day at the MCG?
Oh,
hang on. Oh, no.
There we go.
It's a totally different kettle of fish, and it's depending on who they play.
We don't really want to listen to Favola anyway, do we?
No, I've got it. Here we go.
Here's Fev.
I don't think Adelaide can win it because they can't win in Melbourne.
Well, we haven't lost a game there this year, for goodness sake. So what do they base that on?
Oh, well, we hardly play at the MCG.
Good point.
Where do you pull it?
But the lack of leg speed. The Crouch boys aren't quick. Sloane's not quick. They keep getting the bloody footy.
Exactly right. No, I don't disagree with Juddy as far as I think leg speed, that's something the Crows need to go after in the preseason, but... The Crouch boys just keep getting the rock in their hand.
Well, that's exactly.
Rory Sloane, I think he's got speed to get out opposition and spread. But the thing, did you watch? Obviously, a lot of people would have watched last night's game. There was not a lot of leg speed in that game.
Exactly.
There was all about finals footy is all about tough. Contested ball inside, winning that ball, hacking it forward. It's generally not a pretty game, but we love the contest and the battle and the tackling and the pressure, and that's what finals footy is all about. So I don't, unless the game blows open, that's when you get the speed, etc. But I think it actually suits the Crouch boys, and I think it suits a Rory Sloan. It suits an Ollie Wines from Port because it's all about pressure and contested.
Okay, I've got Norman of Greenacres. Morning, Norman.
How you going, KG?
Good, thank you, mate.
Yeah, it definitely crazy. I mean, what I saw other night, I'm a Power supporter. They've got a very solid team right across the board. But the Victorians got to look at their own back. They've got teams in that state, can't even win a Victorian. They live in that state.
Very good point, actually.
I reckon the Power can do just as well as the Crows. I'd like to see a Power and a Crows grand final. That would really upset the Victorians.
Yeah. Well, that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it?
That would be nice to see.
I'd have to leave town. But look, I don't know what they base. Lack of leg speed, for goodness sake. That's ridiculous. Thank you, Norman. Good call. Hello, we've got Rowan of Strathalbyn, is it?
Yep.
Rowan, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Les?
Good, thank you.
What's your thoughts, Rowan?
Mate, I can't believe that they come up with this rubbish all the time. They're talking about leg speed. Line someone up alongside Charlie Cameron and that, and you're talking about the Crouch boys. Well, they're in and under on the bottom of every pack, mate. That's exactly where you want them. Feed them out to our lads.
Yep.
So, I don't put any substance to what they talk about half the time in Victorians.
But they give us no credit at all, the Vicks. They haven't for Yonks. They just don't show us any respect at all.
Well, 97-98 was very similar, KG. We had no respect there, really. No one picked us to win.
St Kilda, North Melbourne.
It's a similar story.
You know, they're hunting the packs. I love the way the Crows are playing at the moment. You know, they're just in and under and just aggression. It's bloody fantastic to watch it is.
Well, the Crouch boy. Yeah, have you got a prize for?
Yeah, hey Rowan, Wednesday night, you doing anything, mate?
No, mate.
We would love you to come along to one night in September. It's a brilliant sportsman's night, It's like a sportsman's night in steroids. This one, you got Rue and Dits and Jars and Louie and Brian Taylor, Galiso.
Yeah.
Bring a mate along as well, okay?
Yeah, I'll bring the old man, Gus. Yeah.
Oh, magnificent! Hang on the line a sec, okay? We'll get your details.
Beautiful. Yeah. Magic.
Good on you, Rowan. Thank you for your call. Jason of Elizabeth East. Good morning, Jason.
Morning. How are you, boys?
Yeah, very well. Thank you.
Look, I'm with the last speakers too. I'm a Port supporter, and I think the Crows proved all year that they're the best team. And as far as leg speed go, everyone talks up GWS as being one of the quicker teams in the AFL.
Well, that's exactly right.
Good point.
The Crows have stitched them up both times this year, so... like you say, as far as finals football goes, when it comes to getting that ball, it's got nothing to do with leg speed. It's getting in there and getting the ball out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm all for, I'm a massive Power fan, and I'm hoping that the Power can get it together for the next 3 to 4 weeks and bring on that SA Grand Final.
Good on you, Jason. Yeah, Jason raises a very good point, actually. GWS is one of the quicker sides in the comp, and we matched them in leg speed on Thursday night.
If anyone's going to test us, it would have been them, and the Crouch boys were pretty good, I would have thought, the other night. Casey,
only had 58 possessions between them.
You win it in the contest, it shuts out all the outside runners. So yeah,
exactly right. Good call, Jason. Very good call. We've got Sally of Bellevue Heights. Hello, Sally.
Hello. How are you guys?
Very well, Sal. What's your thoughts?
As I think I heard you say, KG, we haven't lost in Melbourne.
This year, no.
No. I think the Victorians are actually threatened by us, and they realise that we're actually doing so well and we could possibly take it from them.
And they don't like it one little bit.
No, exactly.
You know what?
And that's why they're knocking us down.
Yeah, I love
it. Exactly right.
That would make me more bloody determined to prove them
exactly.
Wrong if I was a Crows player.
Just another little needle if you need it to call upon.
And like the previous caller said, the Crouch boys have done really well. I mean, come on, Matt got all Australian.
Yep.
Yep.
And if he didn't, you got to wonder if he hasn't been in under everything, how he got it then.
Yeah, no, exactly. he's a very good player. Sally, we've got a prize for you, Sally.
Yeah, Sally, we want you to come along as well on Wednesday night, one night in September.
Yeah, good night.
Thanks to Sporties Bar and Arena, the best place to watch every footy final live this September. Big Sportsman's Night featuring Jars and Louis, Roo and Ditz, BT, Glee. So you're going to be there as well, Cage.
I'm doing the handball competition. Absolutely fantastic. Good on you, Sal. Thank you for your call. Justin of Modbury. Morning, Justin.
How you going, guys?
Your thoughts?
My thoughts are I think everyone in Melbourne's getting in front of themselves over there with Richmond.
Yeah, as usual. Yeah, I think they do that. Yep. The other flavour, Justin. That's a good point. I think there's something a little bit new, and I think everyone sort of wants them to do.
They blew
do
the
well.
Game open in the last quarter.
Yeah,
last
they did. Night. You've got to look at their kicking efficiency in that, though. They're running at 58-59%. You're turning the ball over that much against the Crows, and good luck keeping up with the score.
Mm, exactly.
They went at 67%. Against the Crows over here and lost by 80 points.
They got smashed. Absolutely.
Yeah, so
you reckon we can do it at the G?
Yeah, no dramas. I reckon the G suits the Crows. The wider ground, they run the lines.
Beautiful.
I don't reckon. Good idea, Justin.
Thank you for your call. There you go.
No arguments here, Cage.
Let's stick it up the Vicks. That's my motto.
Yep.
Stick it up the Vicks.
Keep doing it.
Come on, Adelaide.
Hey, the Twitter poll is definitely in your favour as well, talking about whether the Crows can win at the MCG. Does that concern you? 90% say nah, and 10% say yes.
So there you go.
Okay, there we go.
Players love playing this. But I mean, I was like when I was playing, you don't get to play there a lot. So when you're there, it's just brilliant. Like, you want to play there.
Yeah, exactly.
But players won't be fearing that. Now I can tell you that, Cage.
Good
bring
on.
It on, Cage. Let's
yeah,
get
bring
there
it
already.
On. Bring it on. That's my motto. Coming up, Paul Roo. And our next guest, we're delighted to be able to talk to Tyson. Has just released a book, and it's called Here It Is.
Absolutely.
The
we
was
do.
Said at the grand final.
Yeah, the grand final celebrational speech. And we do throw the word royalty around a little bit, KG, but this man fits into that category very easily.
Yep.
Paul Roos is obviously our guest. And Roosie, you have just brought out the new book, Here It Is, a lot about leadership and coaching. And by the look of it, this book started a long, long time ago.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more around my coaching career. I sort of sat down at the end of October 1998, actually, when I finished playing, and I wrote down things that I liked about coaches, didn't like about coaches, and at that stage I didn't have a clue what I'd do, but I always felt that maybe the longer coaches had been out of playing, that the less they had in common with their players and less empathy. So, look, that turned out to be an amazingly valuable list to sort of look back on it over the 11 years or 12 years of coaching Melbourne and Sydney, and it really connected me, kept me connected to the players. Yep. So, yeah, that was probably the start of the coaching journey, even though I didn't ever know that I'd sort of get on that roundabout.
You touch on the strong relationships with the players and empathy and all that sort of that. I guess that path, that more than ever these days is a really important part of coaching, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when I first started, to be fair to the coaches, we were all part time, so we basically raced down to training, we jump out of the car, we get in the, whack our gear on around the training track. So you didn't really have a lot of conversations. When it started to get to fully professional in the late 90s, players were around the club the whole time. So you really had much more time. You had to get to know your players, what made them tick, understand what was happening on the field to drive them, off the field as well. So, it really then became about great relationships, and I think that's what great coaching is all about.
And, Roosie, I've got the book, but I haven't started to read it yet. Do you cover in there when Andrew Demetrio called your game plan unattractive? Do you cover that issue?
Yeah, we talk about that. Not in great detail because it's more around the leadership concepts.
Yep.
And what I do is touch on it, more from a leadership point of view, how strange it was. I sort of use the analogy that it'd be like the head of Coca-Cola saying, please don't drink our product in New South Wales because it's not very good. And so from a leadership point of view, I really touch on it. And what I also say is how I found it quite strange at the time that the commission didn't come out and say, hang on, that's our product. Sydney Swans represent the game in Sydney. We don't trash our own brand. So, more around that. I just found at the time was actually quite a bizarre comment to make from the CEO of the AFL.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts with the game at the moment, Roosie? There is a lot talked about. It's, it's too contested and lots of numbers around the ball, et cetera. Where do you think it sits at the moment?
Yeah, look, I'm fine. I think part of the problem is all the rules they've made, haven't worked. So then they put in another rule. I remember the Coaches Association meeting, some 12, 15 years ago, we talked about why don't you throw the ball up around the ground, because if you go back to the, and you guys remember, go back to the old State of Origin games, and I remember it actually hit me when I was watching an old State of Origin game on telly. The umpire basically ran him, picked the ball up, threw the ball up straight away. The ruckman barely had time to get there, let alone the two high half forwards and then the half backs that are coming in. Now, what happens with all the rule changes, the umpires wait so long to blow the whistle that a one-on-one tackle becomes 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The ball spills out 3 times. Then by the time the umpire comes in and picks it up, he looks behind him and says, boys, I'm actually going to back out that way. And he runs in and bounces the ball. And all of a sudden, you've got 20 players around the football. So the AFL have created this mess themselves. But my view is, let the coaches coach their way out of it.
Yep.
And if you tend to do that, then the game really looks after itself.
Paul, can I ask you, there have been some thoughts from some Victorians that from the Crows' point of view, they will lack pace if they get to the grand final at the MCG. Can I have your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that's probably one of the great myths of footy. I think, certainly Richmond have changed a little bit, and Bulldogs last year. But Sydney Swans, when I coached them, and even under John Longmire, aren't a quick team. Geelong weren't a quick team. Hawthorn weren't a quick team. What they were, they were all very well organised. They were very hard around the football. I don't think pace is an issue at all for the Adelaide Crows. We've already seen the first two finals, and I've said this all year, and finals are different games of footy. So you've got to set your team up during the season and what Richmond have done and what Adelaide have done. We've spoken to Pikey a number of times on the radio, and he's talked a lot about his contested ball, and they've done a fantastic job. So finals slow down. You still need speed, and I think we saw that with Richmond last night. You can see. I mean, the ideal model is if you've got a quick player that can win his own ball, then don't get me wrong, I'd take him over a slow player that can win his own ball. But it's speed of ball movement, too, that the Crows do really, really well. It's not necessarily leg speed, although they have plenty of it. Eddie Betts, Charlie Cameron. The boys on the outside aren't slow. McKay's not slow. Seedsman's not slow. So they've got enough of it. But you need grunt in order to win finals. And I was really super impressed by the Crows the other night.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Roosie, you had a lot of success at Sydney with playing hard contested footy, and that's what finals is all about. What's your thoughts on the Premiers and who you think might be there at the last day in September?
Yeah, I sort of thought before the final series started to be an Adelaide-Sydney Grand Final. We can't have that now, obviously, because Sydney are in the same side. So, look, they're probably the two most trusted teams going in. I was really bullish on the Tigers, but you just hadn't seen them perform on the big stage. I think they ticked some real boxes last night. So, look, unfortunately for Swans fans and probably Crows fans, that prelim final. Look, and I'm presuming the Swans have still got to get over Essendon and Geelong, so I don't want to disrespect those teams. Sydney and Adelaide, for me, are the two most trusted teams going in.
Yep.
Giants were really disappointing. Geelong were really disappointing. But we often see that in the first week of finals, don't we? And then we write those teams off, and then generally they bounce back the following week. So I still think it's open, but look, Adelaide have put themselves in a great position. I think the bye week, they need to really manage that. Mm. Richmond, we saw last year. So I think the fitness guys, Brett Burton and the fitness guys at Richmond are really going to have a big think about how they handle a weekend off, because both teams didn't handle it well last year. And obviously momentum is such a big thing. So I think the bye week going into the final stops momentum. And that's why the games, I thought last night's game was a cracker. I thought Thursday Adelaide just destroyed the Giants. So momentum gets slowed, doesn't it, by that bye week?
And I think,
I don't like it at all. I think we're excited about the finals. We go into the finals. It's a war of attrition. Teams have momentum. Teams, and you guys know. I mean, even that one weekend off during the season can throw teams out. So let alone going into the finals. And now the Crows have got another bye after this week. So it's certainly not ideal.
Paul, we appreciate your time. Good luck with the book. Here it is. It'll be a wonderful read. We appreciate your time, Roo, and all the best.
Yeah, great talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks,
pleasure, Rudy. Paul Roos.
Makes a lot of sense, doesn't he?
Yeah, you sit down and analyse what he said.
Had another 15 questions for him, but we'll leave that for another time. I'll tell you what, I'd love him to go to Gold Coast Suns and sort them out.
He would be the only bloke that could sort them out.
Yeah, he would be perfect for them to
absolutely
lock him there for 3 years and get him back on track.
Looking at the game last night, Richmond played superbly last night, but I looked at the last quarter in particular, and Dustin Martin just took the game apart last night.
Stepped
and
up.
It got me thinking, who will be the player for Port Adelaide and the Crows that can take them to that another step, like a Dustin Martin, that could take either the Port either Port or the Crows to a premiership. Who is the one player?
Mm. There's normally someone steps up, isn't there?
Exactly. Like Dustin Martin last night.
Like he did there's the moments come. You're not sure when they are. Or even at the time, you're not sure that that is the moment, but they come.
Who was the one player for Port Adelaide and the one player for the Crows that are able to do what Dustin Martin did last night for Richmond? From Port Adelaide, from my point of view, Paddy Ryder stands out like a beacon. Like his effort tonight, he holds the key for me.
No, definitely. Robbie Gray's little partner in crime will have a big influence on that as well.
For the Crows?
For the Crows, I still think Big Sauce is a huge...
Do you?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But, I mean, there's some others. I mean, the Crouch boys, I think, as I said earlier, they are so important. And even Roosie mentioned it with... they haven't got blistering speed, but you don't need it in finals. You need to win the ball in the contest and get the ball going forward. So I think Brad Crouch is ready to, and he had a really good game the other night.
He's
been slowly building. He's the one for me who's going to absolutely tear this final series apart.
Robbie Gray for Port?
I think there's a few. I mean, there's always a little Smokey as well. I think Ollie Wines is suited. He is built for...
What about Travis Boak?
His mum and dad built him for finals footy. Travis Boak is building. He's like Brad Crouch.
Nice one.
Yeah. Oh, they did. Oh, he is absolute. He wouldn't be able to sit still, Ollie Wines, at the moment, waiting for the game tonight. And, the little Smokey, who probably had his best game, was it last game of the week before? In Sammy Gray, there's always someone that pops up that does it, like a Shane Allen in the grand final for the Crows. Someone like that, there's always someone else out there as well.
Stands up.
It'd be good to hear from our listeners who their little Smokey might be as well, if they've got one of them as well.
Yeah,
so,
good point. Okay, folks, give us a call, 133353, Port Adelaide and Crows. Who's the one Port Adelaide player you think, as Tyson said, can lift you to the premiership in September? And from the Crows' point of view, who is the one player that can lift the Crows to a premiership in this month of September? Who will be Mr. September,
if you like,
for both Port Adelaide and the Crows? Give us your thoughts.
Good title to win, that one.
Mr. September. As I mentioned, watching the game last night, I saw Dusty Martin in the last quarter take that game apart last night, and I suddenly thought, who is the one player for both Port and the Crows that could take the game apart and do a Dusty Martin? Paddy Ryder comes to mind. So give us your thought, folks. 133353. Who will be Mr. September for both Port Adelaide and the Crows? We've got Greg of Parralowie. Morning, Greg.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Greg.
Good. Hey, I'm going to go from the Crows, and judging the way they played Thursday night, it's hard to single out just one of them.
Yep.
Yeah,
but one guy that's emerging from a crowd of very talented players is Riley Knight. He looks like he could be a Mr. September type.
Little Smokey.
Well, a little Smokey. And he's underrated, Tyson. And Greg, I think he is anyway, in my view.
Yeah, he is. Well, he's cracker. He's out there all the time going at it hard.
He could do a Shane Ellen.
Yeah, he could do a Shane Ellen and pop up. And Greg said, that he's got some superstars around him, great players all playing well. And that's what you need for these other ones to pop up, for them to be playing well, give you some confidence as well. So who knows? Could be.
Yep. Good on you, Greg. Call. Thank you for your thoughts, Sam. We've got Anthony of Plimpton Park. Morning, Anthony.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
That's good. For me, it's Big Charlie Dixon.
Yeah.
Yes, he's been in good form.
Been good all year.
He can start conscious of marking some early goals, that he's on, and that could be very, very dangerous.
He's no doubt one of their most important players at the moment, Charlie Dixon.
He takes those big clunkers, doesn't he?
Yeah, and you need him in finals as well. If you just pressure's on, get the ball forward, you want a contest from your big forward, and Charlie certainly gives you that. Yep. So I don't mind that one at all.
Good on you, Anthony. I like that one. We've got Darren of Aldinga. Hi, Darren.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Who's your Mr. September?
Look, I'm looking at the Crows, and I guess it'd be easy to be seduced by the Eddie Betts factor, but I'm going to actually go for a bit of experience and say Richie Douglas.
Yeah, I tell you what, I thought he was outstanding the other night.
Very good.
Absolutely, and I think he's building nicely, and obviously with the injury he had the other night, I just think he'll step up and just show us a little bit of what he's got and make it happen.
Yeah, well, Darren, we've got a prize for you.
Absolutely. Darren, Wednesday night, you and a mate, one night in September. You want to come along?
I'd love to, guys. I've only been here about 3 months. I've moved over from Perth. I've always been a Crows supporter for about 25 years, so I'm loving it.
No, you'll love this
you'll
night.
You'll love Wednesday night.
Best way of describing it, Sportsman's Night on steroids. You've got BT, Brian Taylor there, Gleeso, Jars and Louis, Ruin Dids. Cage is going to be there as well.
Yeah.
All right. All thanks to the Sporties Bar and Arena, the best place to watch every footy final live this September. Good on you, mate.
Yeah, well done, Darren. We've got Darren. Tim of Greenacres. Morning, Tim.
Hey, go, mate.
Good, Tim. Who's your Mr. September?
Justin Westhoff for the pair is...
Hinkley should just let him off the chain and then what he used to do at Central Districts and that. And not, there's not too many guys can run with him because save with the body size and he's serious got that X factor about him and just let him run and I reckon he'll just tear sides apart.
He's an interesting player, Tice, isn't he?
Yeah, no, he's a very smart. Obviously, I was at Port for 4 years, so I got to know him really well. He's a very, very smart footballer.
Is he?
Oh yeah, no, he knows the game really well, and the size and his athletic ability suits for. For finals footy, so I'd love to see Westy tear the game apart in a couple of finals. Yeah. So.
Good on you, Tim. Interesting thought. Justin Westhoff. Sean of Munnoparra West. Morning, Sean.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Good, thank you. Who's your Mr. September?
Well, I'll start this off with I'm an ex-Victorian and I will be tipping the Crows to win the flag.
Yes.
Now, my Mr. September, and I reckon it's going to be one in the prelim, is Daniel Talia. Because he has to stop Buddy Franklin 1 week, and then the following week he could have a Townsend or a Jack Riewoldt, in my opinion.
Yeah,
well, that's interesting.
You have some important roles.
It does, yeah.
I was thinking maybe a lever is someone. Reminds me a little bit of Benny Hart, the way he was, you know, Mr. Consistency.
That first half in that grand final against Northman was unbelievable.
He was brilliant. So a lever could be one for a little Ben Hart clone.
Yeah, good on you, Sean. Daniel Talia. We've got Jack of Hope Valley. G'day, Jack.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Mr. September.
Well, I agree with Anthony that Charlie Dixon is that big presence. I mean, 10th in the AFL in goals. First in contested marks. He's just that big body up there, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's capable, isn't he? He's capable of ripping a game apart. No doubt about that.
With his and another one that's going to fly under the radar, I think, that could pop up is young Sammy Gray.
Yeah, well, he did the other day. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, coming into form right time of year, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think, and unnoticed by many oppositions, so I think he might... Do very nicely.
All right, Jack, we've got a prize for you. Jack, here we go.
Jack, we're going to get you along to One Night in September as well, thanks to Sporties Bar and Arena, the best place to watch footy finals live this September. You and a mate there on Wednesday night with Cage and Jars and Louis and Rue and Ditz and BT and everyone else.
Tony Mondra and Gavin Wanganeen also.
Yes, they are too. Yes.
They're as well. So big show, Cage.
Oh,
gee, that is royalty.
Bigger than Quo Vars. Unbelievable. Josh of Aldinga Beach. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, boys. Just got Paul Seedsman. He's with Brody Smith's injury.
Yep.
He's won an Anzac Day medal with Collingwood, so he can play at the next stage. Yep. And I really think he's had the injury earlier in the year, so he's going to be building for a big one.
What are your thoughts there, Tyson?
Yeah, don't mind that at all. With Brody, obviously, now, unfortunately, will be out. He can step into that in the shoes of Brody. They're similar sort of players, and he can play the game. Don't worry about that.
Okay, good on you, Josh. Kathy of Paralawi.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I've been saying this for a long time. I can't say anything about Port, but I've been saying this for a long time. The Crows are not a one-man team, and we've proven that time and time again. If I have to pick one player, I would like to think it was our wonderful captain, Tex Walker, because he'll be able to spur them on and get them going.
Well, we need a big game from Big Tex, don't we, Tice?
Yeah, he almost looks like he's trying a little bit too hard for me, Tex. Yeah, just let it happen. I know it's hard because he's the captain. He needs to lead by example, all those sorts of things. But I like Kathy's point that they are a team. There always is someone that steps up, like Dusty Martin did the other night.
True, so. But it was never more evident that there's a special culture about this group on Thursday night, no question.
And, you know, from diversity, you know, something happening that's not great. There's normally a positive that comes out of it, and they seem to be pretty... It was a bit like the same at Port when the boys went through the J-Mac scenario. Yeah. Those guys were so tight and still are, and it's a connection that they'll have forever now.
Yeah, well, there you go, folks.
Some good calls there.
Yeah, my words. Charlie Dixon's a pretty good nomination for Port Adelaide.
Really important.
I'm surprised no one said Ryder. No one said Source.
Yeah, maybe they're too obvious.
True.
But that they are all really important, but Charlie Dixon is super important for Port's chances.
Okay, still to come, folks. Stay with us.
Who we got?
We got Brendan Lade
coming
up.
Oh, yeah, Lady.
And we got Wheel of Wine. Let's come
back. The Wheel of Wine.
Oh, we love the Wheel of Wine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
On Triple M's Dead Set Legends, it's time for...
Don't pussyfoot around.
KG's Wheel of Wine.
Here we go, Cage. There's listeners out there that have been waiting for this.
Like
this is why we leave it to the end.
Yeah, like a lab.
So let's get straight into it. I hope you get fired up here.
Oh, I'm okay.
All right. The topics we have today, you got a memo to the AFL you would like to write and send through.
Yep.
You want to touch on the bye.
Yep.
Brody Smith you want to talk about. Not so much a wine, but if he pops up, you've got something to say there. And the national anthem is a topical one this morning. So
exactly right.
They're all the topics this morning. So give it a spin, Sean. We'll see which ones pop up here. I hope the buy pops up at some stage. I want to hear you talk about the buy. Okay. Let's keep smashing that buy and get rid of the thing. But it's not going to be this one. This one is memo to the AFL. What's the memo all about?
Well, Tice and Sean, memo to the AFL. Please, please, please listen to your players, where 86% of all AFL players have stated so strongly in a survey, leave the bloody game alone. No more rule changes. Sick to death of that. No more changes to the interpretation of the game. Leave it alone. And I agree. Let the game settle. This year has been so damn confusing with the out of bounds on the full, deliberate point. It's been ridiculous. Leave it alone. Let it settle.
Love it.
Crazy.
Good start. I don't know whether you sign memos, but I'll be happy to co-sign that memo
it's
for you.
It's ridiculous.
What about the last night with the umpires holding up play, waiting for someone to nominate as a ruckman? It's like, just throw the thing in, forgot.
It's
anyway,
a joke.
So it's not my wheel of wine. Good, great start.
But I like it. I like it.
Okay, so we've got the bye, Brody Smith, and the national anthem. This is a big spin, Sean.
Good spin, Sean.
We have the bye.
Now, let me say this, folks. The bye at the end of the minor round is an absolute farce. It's a joke. It's a complete waste of time. Look, the top four sides are penalised for doing just that, reaching the top four. Now, would you believe the Crows will play just one game in 27 days now? Hmm. One game in 27 days. Rory Sloane last played a game on the 27th of August. He won't play until now, the 22nd of September. How bloody crazy is that? Where's all the momentum? It is ridiculous. Honestly, it penalises the top four. That's got to go. See you later. On your bike. Never be seen again.
Good call. Yeah, Paul Roos spoke about the momentum, didn't he?
When it did. Spoke to Roosie earlier. It is stupid.
You lose.
And the AFL can't see it.
Well, they might. If we keep complaining, I'm sure they listen to the our show here in the Dead Set Legends, Coach.
We've got some
Paul. Anyway, we've got another spin. Last one for you, Coach. Last one, and then we can move on to the rest of the weekend.
Yep.
Talk to the lady.
Yep.
What about Brody Smith and the National Anthem? Had a good crack at the National Anthem earlier.
We did.
Oh, Brody Smith, and this is not a wine.
No, it's not a wine as such. But look, it was one of the most saddest and moving moments I've seen in football in a long, long time. Last Thursday night, young Brody Smith going down with a severe knee injury. Now know that he'll be out of action for something like 12 months. Honestly, he will now miss the opportunity. When you think about it, he missed the opportunity of perhaps playing in a grand final or even being a part of a premiership. And you can just imagine what that kid's going through at the moment. He's been fantastic all year. But the thing that amazed me was the response from his teammates was absolutely wonderful. When he hugged Big Sauce Jacobs after the game, that was a great moment for me. Look, footy's a great game, but at times it can be cruel. And that incident with Brody Smith was one of the cruelest I've seen for quite some time. That is the wheel of wine.
Well said.
Tice.
Big game tonight, KG.
Oh, gosh.
Mighty Power Boys taking on West Coast. And West Coast have got a good record over here for some reason.
Yeah, they have, but Paul will smash them to all.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope they get the job done. And
Big Paddy Ryder.
He is very important. And one man who knows all about it is Brendan Lade, Port's assistant coach. Thanks for your time this morning, lady.
Hello, boys.
Hey, we did touch on West Coast. Why do they play so well over here, mate? Hopefully you guys are going to stop that tonight, but any reasons why they've had such a good record here recently?
Yeah, the ground's very similar to our ground. It's very narrow and long, and as everyone knows, West Coast and Booth ground very well. So when they come over here, it's very similar to home for them, and hopefully tonight we can take that away from them a bit.
Lady, are you confident? Well, you must be confident because you picked them, but a big job tonight for your defence. There's no Tom Jonas, no Homps in the side. So it's a big, big, big job for your defence tonight with the blokes like Petrie, Daly, and also Kennedy.
Yeah, it's always a tough gig down in defence, the last line there. So it's not just going to be the defenders tonight. We've got to have some pressure up in our forward line, have some pressure through our midfield. So the entries going inside their 50 aren't clean. And if we can do that, we're pretty confident our defence can hold up and do the job they need.
You've got a pretty young group, lady, and this is a serious question. Have you spent any more time with those young players and preparing them for finals footy?
Not really, Tyce. I think I've got two in my line that haven't played, or three haven't played finals in my line. So we just had a chat about now our meeting here today and just what to expect and what not to expect, and just some things that they need to focus on. But all we told them really is this, it goes up another level. The pressure's a bit more and you've got a bit less time. So hopefully they can adjust to that quickly.
Gee, lady, the performance of Big Ryder tonight, gee, was, I honestly feel he looked like he's a wonderful player, but I reckon he could play a key role tonight for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, Touchwood, Paddy's had two really good games against West Coast this year. I'm sure that they had three ruckmen last time and he did a job in that. So they'll have some different plans in place for him, no doubt, because he's been pretty influential those two games. So for us, we need Petey just keeps trucking on and getting the job done for us because, as you said, he's very important for our midfield.
Riley Bonner, lady, give us a little bit of a rundown. He hasn't been in what I've seen super form in this NFL. Not that he hasn't been playing well, but hasn't been, I guess, in that super form pushing his way in. Has come in and looks pretty comfortable at AFL level. Is this all the type of player that is one that lifts to whatever standard it is? I hope that does that make some sort of sense, that question?
Yeah, it does. About his form first, it was probably midway through the year. It wasn't his best form, but he had a really good four-week bite before we put him in. He was really solid defensively, and we all know Riley can play offensively. He's very good with the ball. He can run really well, so we're really happy what he does with it. It's just we needed to work on that defensive side, and he did, and was playing some quite good footy, so he'll come in and be able to provide a lot of run for us off that back line.
And, lady, you must be happy with the role that young Todd Marshall is playing at the moment. His contribution, you must be pleased with that.
Yeah, Todd's got a big future in our club. Everyone knows that. But the last couple of weeks have just started to show what he can really do. And when the boys get some more confidence in him and start hitting him on the leads, he'll be pretty hard to stop in years to come.
Gee, that contested ball is important in that midfield tonight.
I can imagine Ollie Wines at the moment, lady. He's we just spoke about him a bit earlier in the show, being built for finals football. I'm sure he'd be itching to get out there to get cracking into this one.
Yeah, all our mids are. Peps is really loves to contest the ball. So does Evo. Chatty Wingard's got really high numbers in there. So we watched Adelaide the other night, and they were just so clean around the contest. So we'll take a little bit of that and hope that we can be as clean as what Adelaide were and get it to the outside and use our run.
Well, lady, good luck tonight. It's a cracking game, an important game. All the best tonight, lady. Good luck.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Brendan Lade there. That is a big game tonight.
Yeah, cracker.
Loser, there's no tomorrow.
Be a good atmosphere there tonight. Oh. Port do the pre-game really good. I'm going, Cage.
You going?
Yeah, me and the boys will be going. So looking forward to watching the Power smash them.
50,000 screaming fans.
Brilliant.
At that wonderful Adelaide Oval.
The Sunday Dead Set Legends. Every Sunday morning from 10 on 104.7 Triple M. Thanks to CMI Toyota.
South Australia's number one Toyota dealer. And the home of the 1-hour express service.
Triple M.